Euenor's son Leocritus rounded on him, shouting, "Rabble-rousing fool, now what's this talk? Goading them on to try and hold us back. It's uphill work, I warn you, fighting a force like ours for just a meal. Even if Odysseus of Ithaca did arrive in person to find us well-bred suitors feasting in his halls, and the men were hell-bent on routing us from the palace, little joy would his wife derive from his return, for all her yearning. Here on the spot he'd meet a humiliating end if he fought against such odds. You're talking nonsense, idiocy. No more. Come, dissolve the assembly. Each man return to his holdings. Mentor and Halitherses can speed our young prince on, his father's doddering friend since time began. He'll sit tight a good long while, I trust, scrabbling for news, right here in Ithaca. He'll never make that trip." This broke up the assembly, keen to leave. The people scattered quickly, each to his own house, while the suitors strolled back to King Odysseus's palace. Telemachus, walking the beach now, far from the others, washed his hands in the foaming surf and prayed to Pallas, "Dear God, hear me. Yesterday you came to my house. You told me to ship out on the misty sea and learn if father gone so long is ever coming home. Look how my countrymen, the suitors, most of all the pernicious bullies, foil each move I make." Athena came to his prayer from close at hand, for all the world with Mentor's build and voice, and she urged him on with winging words, "Telemachus, you'll lack neither courage nor sense from this day on, not if your father's spirit courses through your veins. Now there was a man, I'd say, in words and action both. So how can your journey end in shipwreck or defeat? Only if you were not his stock, Penelope's too, then I'd fear your hopes might come to grief. Few sons are the equals of their fathers, most fall short, all too few surpass them. But you, brave and adept from this day on, Odysseus's cunning has hardly given out in you. There's every hope that you will reach your goal. Put them out of your mind, these suitors' schemes and plots. They're madmen, not a shred of sense or decency in the crowd. Nor can they glimpse the death and black doom hovering just at their heads to crush them all in one short day. But you, the journey that stirs you now is not far off, not with the likes of me, your father's friend and yours, to rig you a swift ship and be your shipmate, too. Now home you go and mix with the suitors there, but get your rations ready. Pack them all in vessels, the wine in jars and barley meal, the marrow of men's bones in durable skins, while I make rounds in town and quickly enlist your crew of volunteers. Lots of ships in sea-girt Ithaca, old and new, I'll look them over, choose the best in sight. We'll fit her out and launch her into the sea at once." And so Athena, daughter of Zeus, assured him. No lingering now, he heard the goddess's voice, but back he went to his house with aching heart, and there at the palace found the brazen suitors, skinning goats in the courtyard, singeing pigs for roasting. Antinous, smiling warmly, sauntered up to the prince, grasped his hand and coaxed him, savouring his name, "Telemachus, my high and mighty, fierce young friend. No more nursing those violent words and actions now. Come, eat and drink with us, just like the old days. Whatever you want, our people will provide, a ship and a picked crew to speed you to holy Pylos out for the news about your noble father." But self-possessed Telemachus drew the line. "Antinous, now how could I dine with you in peace and take my pleasure, you ruffians carousing here? Isn't it quite enough that you, my mother's suitors, have ravaged it all, my very best, these many years, while I was still a boy? But now that I'm full grown, and can hear the truth from others, absorb it too. Now, yes, that the anger seethes inside me, I'll stop at nothing to hurl destruction at your heads, whether I go to Pylos or sit tight here at home. But the trip I speak of will not end in failure. Go I will as a passenger, nothing more, since I don't seem to command my own crew. That, I'm sure, is the way that suits you best." With this, he nonchalantly drew his hand from Antinous' hand, while the suitors, busy feasting in the halls, mocked and taunted him, flinging insults now. "God help us," one young buck kept shouting, "he wants to slaughter us all. He's off to sandy Pylos to hire cutthroats, even Sparta perhaps, so hot to have our heads. Why, he drove as far as Ephyra's dark rich soil, and run back home with lethal poison, slip it into the bowl, and wipe us out with drink." "Who knows?" another young blade up and ventured. Off in that hollow ship of his, he just might drown, far from his friends. A drifter like his father. What a bore! He'd double our work for us, splitting up his goods, parcelling out his house to his mother.